Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Have you ever looked at somebody else and thought, boy, if I could be like them. If I could have that characteristic, that trait, boy, that's great. I mean, maybe it's patience or gentleness, or somebody else exhibits, a kindness, intelligence, people skills, athletic abilities, or good looks. I don't know, but I suspect this is what drives all the hero and superhero movies and TV shows these days. Ability to take on the powers and the traits of a superhero. That'd be great. Of course, the quality or characteristic we want to have from somebody is something positive and beneficial to us. Almost never would we think of taking a negative attribute or a trait from somebody else, something that might harm us. Except the only time where that might be the case is a situation where someone we love is in great danger or maybe very, very ill. Parent of a child with cancer might well wish that he could have that disease himself instead of his child, thus take the disease and all the pain away. Or the spouse of somebody who's been kidnapped might wish that he or she could exchange places with the other one so they could be set free. In effect, this is just what Jesus was doing for us in his baptism. Jesus is God the Son who has nothing under the world, nothing to gain from us. He himself created us. He can't have acquire any positive quality or characteristic from us, because he, together with the Father and the Spirit, is the source of absolutely everything that is good and right and holy and loving and strong. And still, get this, he becomes man and is baptized in order that he might take something from us and make it his own. Jesus puts himself in the closest possible proximity to us, stepping right into this baptism for sinners in order that he might soak up our sin unto himself and take it all away from us. All of our greed, all of our envy, our lust, our anger, our laziness, our selfishness, all of that, together with its fatal consequences, Jesus humbly and willingly assimilates into his own person so that we might be free of it. That's something that John the Baptizer didn't yet quite grasp. Now, he knew Jesus was the Messiah, but when Jesus came to be baptized by him, it's written that John tried to prevent him. Stop! Jesus, that doesn't seem right! Hold it! What are you doing? My baptism is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's for all those other people out there with their various vices and misdirected loves and their unfaithfulness. But you, Jesus, you don't have a thing to repent of. You need no forgiveness. I shouldn't be doing this. But Jesus insists, permit it to be so now, he says. I know, John, you may not fully understand what I'm doing right away. I know that, but go ahead. Let's get in the water together. This is, John, how all righteousness will be fulfilled. I got to be counted among the sinners and become one with them in order to make them righteous. Here, right here in the mud and muck, I take their place. Here in the mud and muck, I make their sin my own so that in my righteousness they might be the Father's own. It is written, God the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an amazing verse of Holy Scripture. Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus became a sinner so that you would become saints. Not that he ever sinned himself, no way, but rather he took on himself the sin of all mankind. Every evil thought and word and deed was counted as belonging to Jesus so that you would be counted as holy and clean in Jesus. Here at the Jordan, then, Jesus was beginning his track. You know where he was headed. He was taking and carrying your sin and your condemnation. For that he would ultimately pour out his own holy blood on the cross for your salvation and your forgiveness. Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptizer will later declare as he points to Jesus. He takes away the sin of the world. At Christmas we celebrated the fact that our Lord humbled himself to take on our flesh and to be born of a virgin as one of us. And now, in this Epiphany season, we celebrate that Jesus took the next step, publicly standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the water, embracing our very darkness, that we may be filled with his holy light. Now get this, Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus chose to use his divine power, not selfishly, but sacrificially. He freely entered into that toxic muck that infects our human nature in order that we might be lifted out of it and purified through him. That's why the Father's voice speaks from heaven and gives public approval of his Son's willing obedience. The Father of love, you see, is pleased that Jesus has become your substitute. God is tickled that Jesus stands at your side. He is tickled that he is hanging and bleeding and gasping and dying on the cross for you. Nothing less than this God has given to you, my friend, in your holy baptism. You are finally therein, children of the Heavenly Father. The one who paid the penalty for our sins on his cross sanctifies this very water with his presence and his promise. Now, it isn't anything special about the water right out of the tap. Anything special about the way it's applied, sprinkled, immersed, poured, doesn't make any difference, just get wet. But in the presence and in the promise of the one who bestows it, the one who stepped down into that Jordan water to stand there right at your side. Since Jesus stood with you in the Jordan, since you're joined with him by water and his word, what took place here in the gospel is true, my friend, also for you. Nothing less. Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. In the same way, the Holy Spirit descends and is given to you, and heaven itself is opened. Why? To you. Just as Israel crossed the Jordan to enter the promised land, so now you cross the Jordan with the Lord Jesus to enter the land of promise, that land of life with God forever in heaven. Now, at the beginning of all this, I ask what quality or what characteristic of another person you might like to have. Truth is, folks, you have received already something a whole lot better than any trait, any characteristic you could ever wish for. You have been given the identity of Jesus Christ himself in your baptism. His holiness, his mercy, his life, all yours. A free gift to rejoice in and to live in. The Father loves you as he loves Jesus. He now says of you, you are my beloved child. I am tickled pink with you. So what does this all mean for this still pretty new year? Well, try this on for size. When Satan or the world tries to shake an accusing finger at you because you have failed and failed and failed the Lord yet again and again, when your faith flickers and you doubt and question the Lord, when you become discouraged and depressed about things going on in your life, when you feel like you are just this little smoldering candle wick about to be snuffed out, remember. Remember the Lamb of God standing in the Jordan, shoulder to shoulder with you in the very midst of the muck and struggle of your life. He knows it better than you do. He has redeemed you with his most precious blood and restored you to the Father. Because of Jesus, God the Father is well pleased with you. Oh, to be sure, you're not a superhero with characteristics of superpowers, but you are God's child, named in the saving name of his dear Son. I ask you then, what characteristic, what trait could you possibly want beside that? In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.